Marcus again. He's scored again!
Good play by Gemland again.
3-1! James McFadden scores for Scotland! France are stunned and Scotland lead in Paris!
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Pure Football Podcast, the podcast that brings you the stories, tactics, stats and rumours about football in Scotland and beyond. And as ever, I'm joined by my co-host Owen. Owen, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks, Gavin. How are you?
Yeah, doing really good, mate. Doing really good. So, you know, there's been a lot happening in the last few weeks with clubs having to defer wages, apply for, you know, support from the government through furlough, etc. So tonight's episode, we said we would focus in on looking at who is the optimum player that a club could sell to increase their resources when the transfer window does reopen. So we'll get to that soon. But before we do that, like many others, we've been playing Football Manager. And when I say we, I mean all of the Pure Football podcasts. So I just wanted to quickly tell everyone that, so first of all, I've been playing as Coventry City. Byron has been playing as Fortuna Colm. Andrew's playing as Osasuna. Chris is Ibar. And Cammy is venturing in 2032 with Jeonbuk from South Korea. Clearly Cammy's got more free time than others. And Owen, so let's just talk about you then. So who's your current save with in Football Manager?
Well, I love that Cammy's in 2032 and I'm still in 2020. Oh no, I'm actually still in 2019. I've made it to 2028. Which makes it sound like Cammy's put a lot more time into this than I have, but that's maybe not the case. I'm just the slowest player that anybody could ever meet at Football Manager. This is my first time playing it for a number of years. Used to love it, used to play it all the time. But yeah, it kind of took up a bit too much time, so put it to the side for a while. I'm currently RC Lens in League Two. That's who I started with. I really like Sheikh Doucouré, kind of two-way midfielder that plays for them. I mean, I like him in, you know, real life, real football. So I wanted to see what he was like and what playing in League Two was like in Football Manager. Turns out that Sheikh Doucouré can't get into my team at the moment. So I signed a young defensive midfielder called Rahim Ibrahim from a club in Ghana right at the start of the game for the grand total of £47,000. And he's currently keeping Sheikh Doucouré out of the team as my kind of offensive midfielder. He's only 18, Rahim Ibrahim, and like him a lot. With RC Lens, I'm doing pretty well. So I'm currently first in League 2. It is, as I said, still 2019, so we're in mid-December of 2019, 3 days before Christmas. And I've just lost my second match of the season. I've lost one game in the league, which was, I think, the second game in the league. Since then, I've been undefeated. I think I've had like 13 wins in a row currently. But I did lose my last match, was in the French Cup to Marseille, who are obviously a league above RC Lens. Despite outshooting them, you know, despite really deserving the victory, I, of course, got the Football Manager sucker punch and conceded a late goal through Dimitri Payet and went out 1-0 to them from the cup. So we were upset about that, but yeah, Lens are doing really well and I'm finding the game pretty enjoyable. It's a really good version of it this season, 2020, I think.
Is this just a secret scouting mission for Charles Bowley to sway him to represent Scotland? Is that really what you're doing?
Could be, but Charles Bowley's not even my first team squad. He's playing for Lens 2, my kind of reserve squad. So I've yet to really get my persuasive managerial interactions going on with him to make him consider him picking up the phone to Steve Clark.
Just quickly on my save, so I'm playing as Coventry and I think I'm same as you. I'm in December now of 2019 and I've just been taken over by former Dundee United chairman Stephen Thompson, so I'll probably be out of a job by January, even so the fact that I'm joint top of the league with Ipswich, which is actually my next game. So looking to take down Paul Lambert. The reason for picking Coventry was absolutely because of Michael Rose and nothing else.
Yes.
So That's the full reason for it. And my dreams of taking him to the Premier League are well and truly alive. But that's, I guess, enough of fantasy football. Let's move to some of the real stuff. So like I said, we were going to talk about who's the optimum player that you could sell. So what we mean by optimum is not just who's going to get you the most money, but what leaves your squad without, I guess, it leaves your squad in a position where you're not hamstringing yourself, or you're not, you know, making it more difficult by not having your best player. So, but I guess your best player could be your optimum player to sell. But yeah, Owen, do you want to just give me a quick take on, so what sort of things did you consider when you were looking at who should every club in the Scottish Premiership look to sell?
Sure, so quite a few things. Thought about what their tactics were, what their playing style was. So, for example, you know, if they really, really needed a specific type of person that fitted a particular role that they used, then it might not be the smartest thing to get rid of that person because, you know, tough to bring in somebody else that fits that role entirely. Looked at the kind of overall shape of the squad. So if they had lots of people in a particular, you know, position, you know, maybe too many central midfielders or whatever, then it might be sensible to, you know, prioritise getting rid of one of them. Also had a look at contract length. So, you know, people who were out of contract in 2021 might have been more of an optimum thing to get rid of them because the chances of securing them on a longer deal might have been thinner, and you know, you've got more time to get rid of somebody that's got a longer length of contract. Also looked at how, you know, perception of them might be in the market at the moment. You know, if there was somebody who maybe was scoring a lot of goals, but maybe the stats suggested that that was a little bit of overperformance, then maybe it might be a good time to cash in. All those kind of things. What about you? Anything else that you thought about?
Much the same. I did, you know, consider in my head, hypothetically, what could they get for each player, obviously. You know, what would give you the most sort of bang for your buck if you were to cash in on someone. But everything that you mentioned as well, I think it's not just as simple as saying, you know, sell Edward or sell Morelos or sell whoever. Yes, that those players will have a value, but it's not just as simple as doing that, I don't think. So,
And also, just in terms of contracts, also looked at when the other players in the squad's contracts ended. So, you know, it would be maybe a little bit foolish to get rid of, you know, a central defender if all the other central defenders were out of contract this summer, 2020.
Yeah.
You know, you're leaving yourself wide open in that position and maybe having to kind of completely restructure a defence, which isn't ideal, you know?
Yeah, totally. Okay, so without further ado then, let's just get straight into this. Owen, just going through it in alphabetical order, start me off with your pick for Aberdeen. Who's the player that Aberdeen should be looking to cash in on when the transfer window reopens?
For me, that's Sam Cosgrove. So Cosgrove only cost, about 30 grand. I think his value's, you know, obviously massively higher than that now. So they could make a really good profit on him. And that's basically the goal, isn't it? For, you know, a club like Aberdeen in a position like that. To, you know, it's a win to sell him just now and make a huge profit in comparison to what they invested in him. He does have a contract to 2022, so, you know, there's maybe not a huge amount of pressure to do it this summer. They could wait another season, but I just feel in comparison to other players within a team, there's maybe more money to be made from him, and it's maybe a position where I think that they might be able to find some other options instead. So Curtis Main came in at times last season and did, you know, very similar things to what Cosgrove did. And beyond that, they can maybe, you know, recruit for, you know, a backup or somebody else to complement Main. Whereas if you were to eliminate one of the other players who might be able to be sold for good value, so maybe, you know, for instance, McKenna, maybe Joe Lewis, I think it's maybe a tougher task to replace them and what they bring to the team. That would be my take on it. As much as, you know, obviously Cosgrove has done really, really good things for them, you know, put away a lot of goals, I just think that he's maybe, you know, he has developed, he's come on a lot, you know, but he maybe is somebody that's a little bit more replaceable than those other players, considering the amount of money that you could get for him, you know.
Okay, interesting. And that's, I guess, our first snap of the evening.
Okay.
I think that, you know, everything you mentioned about Cosgrove is, you know, pretty much spot on. I think that his goals are replaceable, and repeatable. I don't think that, not that he's not a good finisher, but I think, you know, the things that he does, you'll be able to find someone that can do similar things. And as much as I thought about Scott McKenna for quite a while about this, but I just felt like maybe the value that you would have got for Scott McKenna 2 years ago mm-hmm. isn't the same as you would now. So are you better using the Cosgrove money to, you know, reinvest across the full team?
Plus, maybe McKenna this next season can, you know, improve again, and his value maybe bumps back up to what it was, you know, a season and a half ago, 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, totally.
And I also felt with, like, you know, like, there's maybe going to be some changes in defence. So Logan might move out for Hernandez to be a starter next season at right back. Considine's getting pretty old now. He might still be a starter. They might use him at left back, but you don't want to maybe, you know, change too many of the people in one area of the pitch. So, you know, I just felt maybe a little bit of continuity there. They could maybe cope with more of a change up front, you know.
Yeah, yep, I totally agree. So, okay, let's move on to Celtic then. Talk me through your pick for Celtic.
Okay, my pick for Celtic is Tom Rogic. I hope we've not got all our snap here, do we?
Nope, just as no, a, snap.
Okay, great.
No snap.
So, Rogic, obviously a brilliant player, incredibly skillful, and, you know, has been a really productive member of Celtic squad for some time now. But he's 28 in December. He only played 600 league minutes last season, you know, partly due to injury, partly due to competition for the position, partly due to maybe his overall kind of stamina levels. And he's got a contract to summer 2023, which is quite a while away, but, you know, I believe his value is only going to decrease from now on in, because he's not going to be a starter next season for Celtic. He might not even be like, you know, the first sub that comes on for his role. The, you know, the formation and the style isn't maybe as quite a fit as it maybe would have been under Rodgers for him. So I just think that he maybe is the person that they can get the most money for, but afford to lose the most. I think for next season, if we say, for instance, as, you know, as a hypothetical, that Celtic do win this league this season, and then they're going for 10 in a row next season, I think ideally they won't want to sell too many of their really, really key players. They might have to sell Edward, depends how much he pushes for a move or who comes in for him. But ideally, I think they'll want to keep as many of the key figures as possible. Rogers isn't a key figure, but they might still be able to get a reasonable amount of money for him. So that's why I, you know, suggest him. I don't think they would get anywhere near as much money for him as people might think, you know, given the things I've mentioned, but still might be something. You know, what about you? Who did you think, or what do you think about Rogic?
So I do kind of agree with Rogic. I think that there's you've said they've got enough options that he can be replaced quite easily in the squad. And yeah, I think that's a good shout.
Gives more minutes to younger people as well. You know, I know the positions aren't directly the same, you know, but it gives an avenue for people like Mikey Johnston, even, you know, Dembele, people like that to come through, people in attacking midfield roles who are, you know, you don't want them to be third or fourth or even fifth option for minutes, you know, ideally.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I went a little bit different on this one, and I'm prepared for you to hate me over this one, sure. But I said that Celtic should look to cash in on Olivier and Cham. Mm-hmm. My reason behind this is I think that Celtic have more than coped with not having Incham mm-hmm. in a number of games. I think Brown and McGregor have been excellent. I think someone like Incham's got quite a big value still. Mm-hmm. Obviously his connection to the French team, I don't see him as a replacement for when Scott Brown retires. I think they do different things.
Sure.
I see him more similar to the things that Callum McGregor's doing, and I don't mm-hmm. see McGregor going. Mm-hmm. So if you can get that big-ish money for him, I'd be looking to sell him. The other reason is you've also got Ewan Henderson, Scott Robertson from the youths, who I know that they rate mm-hmm. very, very highly. And if Incham isn't there, that gives them an opportunity to play more first-team minutes with Celtic's first team. So I think for that reason, you can get a sort of big bang for selling Incham on, and then you've got the gateway for the younger players to get some minutes. So what's your thoughts on that?
I think that's sensible. I mean, I think Ncham gets you, what, maybe two or three times the transfer fee that Rogic would. So I understand it from that perspective. I think a lot of my thinking around Celtic is really rooted in 10 in a row and how important next season will be for them, and that if at all possible, they wouldn't want to get rid of somebody, even not a certain starter, but somebody that's probably an absolute second choice for a midfield role. I would kind of see in my mind that if you take that sort of double pivot of Brown and McGregor at the base, you're probably thinking that for Brown's role, as Milo Soro or Ebue Kouassi are going to be the two that kind of fight out for that role, but we don't necessarily know really with any certainty as to whether Lennon trusts either one of them at all, or whether the club do and whether they're really going to be in there. And then for McGregor, you probably have Ncham as the second in place. I'm not sure you want to lose that much experience, you know, by getting rid of Ncham, because then what if McGregor or Brown, keep in mind how many minutes McGregor's been asked to do, and Brown's advancing age and therefore susceptibility to injuries. There's a possibility that one or both of those might be out for a period of time next season, and do you want to then be dropping in Robertson or Henderson or somebody like that as the starter necessarily? That was kind of my thinking on that you maybe want to hedge your bets a wee bit with that, and you know, keep Ncham for one more season. I also think that his value doesn't go down next season because, you know, he's not been, you know, he didn't do starter minutes this season, but he probably still has interest at the same level as before. So I imagine the same continues next season, whereas with somebody like Rogic, you know, he's 28 in December. By the time that we come to next summer, you know, the market gets even more reduced for him, you know?
Yeah, so I guess my only counterpoint in this one would be that if Ncham doesn't do starter minutes next season, then the big fee that you're going to get for him is then starting to dwindle into the sort of fee that you're going to get for Tom Rogic. So your depreciation on him is probably...
I'm not sure if it would depreciate that much as long as he's still in and around the squad and still doing the same things, you know, because... That's just my take, but I understand. I don't disagree that Ncham's a good shout as well. I would say both of these guys are probably among the people you would be most inclined to move on if you're Celtic.
Okay, so let's move on then from that one. We'll leave that one at a stalemate between Ncham and Rogic because I think it's quite hard to decipher on that one. So let's move to Hamilton. Talk me through what was your thinking for what move could Hamilton do?
Okay, well, Hamilton have very, very few people that are going to be contracted beyond this summer. Obviously, that depends a little bit on what happens with football. It might be that potentially some players are quite inclined to sign another contract for another year. Maybe clubs are more open to offering them. I don't know. But anyway, they have just a few players, very, very limited, that are actually contracted beyond this season. So I kind of went, well, those are the only ones that you can sell. And the one that I went for out of those that I thought had probably the most appeal was Marius Ogbo, who I think in limited stretches of this season has actually been really good. You know, he's quite a specific style of player. But when he is... playing to his best strengths, he's really good, you know, at it. He's performed well, I think, particularly in the games against Celtic and Rangers, where, you know, he proved a handful for centre backs that normally are, you know, pretty capable in this division. So he would be the one that I would maybe think, well, there might be some interested parties. They might be able to, you know, get a fee for him, which would, you know, be a fairly remarkable thing for Hamilton, I guess. And I think that the rest of the team is going to need a lot of strengthening. So you probably just want to go, okay, well, we need to just bite the bullet and sell the person who's going to get us the most money in. Yeah, then leaves a bit of a hole up front. But they do have some other decent options, still, if they can get people to re-sign and so on up front. And this way you can maybe spread things out and strengthen some of the other areas. You know, goalkeeper's been, in terms of a permanent player, has been a little bit of an issue for them recently. So, you know, their defence, you know, fullbacks and so on. What about you?
And unfortunately, we've got another snap here, and it just does come down to the amount of limited players that Hamilton have got. I think it's only 5-6 players max that are under contract for 2021. Mm. And yeah, I think I remember seeing it was like Ryan Fulton, who's been awful. We're not going to get any money for him. So yeah, Ogbo was the one where I thought, you know, there could be a team that could see. He reminds me a little bit of like Uche in terms of the way that he plays for Hearts. Just, you know, that big physical presence that wants to, you know, get involved in the battles. And yeah, I think there's not a whole lot of options to sell if you're Hamilton, to be honest. They could get some, you know, development fees for you know, Jamie Hamilton, Lewis Smith, but if that's not part of our criteria, it was, you know, actual money in, and Ogbo was really the only choice from what I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I guess that one's not too exciting, but what about Hearts? Let's talk about Hearts. This could be okay. An interesting one. Talk to me your thing about
sure.
What Daniel Stendel should look to do.
Okay, well, I'm going to go for the guy that you just compared the last guy to. So I'm going to go for Uche Ikpeazu. So I quite like Uche Ikpeazu. I think that you know, he's got a lot of very good attributes for mm-hmm. a certain type of striker in Scotland. You know, as you mentioned, he's you know, a very good battler, plays well with his back to goal, can hold the ball up well. He's actually, you know, when he gets turned, he can have a, you know, reasonably good bit of vision on him sometimes, you know, little through balls and stuff. And he's always a menace, you know, at kind of set pieces, at throw-ins into the box and stuff like that. But I just think that he doesn't fit Stendel's style enough, you know, and even for somebody that doesn't fit Stendel's style and is quite a particular type of player, for that type of player, I think you just want more goals. You know, I think, yeah, it's all well and good to do the kind of battling side and, you know, the back to goal and the kind of winning the long ball and stuff. And yeah, he's maybe been hampered a little bit by a lack of creativity in the Hearts team, maybe under Levine and so on, where he maybe hasn't had the opportunities he might have in other teams, but he still doesn't provide enough in front of goal as a goal scorer for me. So that's why I would say to move him on. I didn't feel that there were a lot of other options for Hearts without potentially hampering the side quite badly. But let's see what you say. Who's your choice for Hearts?
Yeah, so for me, I actually went for Sean Clare as the player I would look to sell. Sean Clare's got 1 year left on his contract. Yep. I think overall his time with Hearts, I think he's been inconsistent, but this season he's had a bit, it feels like he's still been very inconsistent, but in the more recent months he's had quite a purple patch, or at least a perceived purple patch. He's got quite a good highlight reel of goals. So I think, you know, a potential suitor could maybe overvalue what you could get for Sean Clare. And I think from a Hearts perspective, you could replace him quite easily. They've got, I think, a number of academy products that you could bring through and give minutes to rather than Sean Clare. So that was my thinking behind that one.
I really like your thinking there. He was somebody I thought about as well, and for quite similar reasons to you, I think that he could potentially be some that other buyers overvalue. I think there's two things that I think people maybe overvalue somewhat, fans particularly. So firstly, goals, particularly unexpected goals from people that don't normally score them, you know, unrepeatable goals or not very likely to be repeated goals. And also versatility. So people that maybe fill in at right back, as Clare did in the crisis, it's a very good thing to be able to do. And, you know, the fans love it, understandably, you know, managers are appreciative of it. But I think that, you know, ultimately, you probably want somebody who's a really good fit for a role, you know, not just somebody who you can plug in because there's nobody else or because you're having to shift Michael Smith into defensive midfield because you've, you know, stupidly blocked Glenn Whelan who can't run and now you're playing a pressing system or whatever. So I don't disagree at all that Sean Clare is probably overvalued and would be a good person to sell. The reason why I was kind of hesitant about it was fan opinion. So I think for Hearts, it's a very difficult time at the moment. They might get relegated. If not, will they stay up? But it's still been a bad season. Anne Budge hasn't exactly handled the furloughing situation, at least in the kind of press-facing side of things, that well, in my view. I think you really want to keep the fans on side. I don't think you necessarily want to sell a fan favourite, and that kind of fed into there as well. I would say I wouldn't look to sell him. I would look to reward the fans sort of by getting him on an extension, and then probably, hopefully, next season, you know, next summer or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I guess.
Disagree. That's what.
Yeah, I think for me that I think that Clare's value is at its peak right now, and I don't see it getting any higher. And I think his depreciation is probably, again, quite extreme if he goes back to reverting to his normal. So you would maybe want to cash in on him as...
My other final concern, sorry about that, was that if we say he's like a right-sided player that can maybe play it right back as well for him at the moment, Michael Smith is aging. He's, what, like 31 now? It's going to be, if they're under Stendhal, then more of the high pressing, high intensity system. I know they lent off it a little bit laterally in the season, but I would imagine after a pre-season they'll go back at it. I was just thinking, well, what if, you know, you need a reliable person who can step in at right back? Maybe you want to keep Clare for that in case Smith gets an injury or anything like that. And also, what if there's bids for Hickey at left back that you have to accept? And then, you know, do you want to have to kind of replace your left back, but also maybe replace a relatively important figure on the right flank? You know, that was concerning.
I guess that's probably quite a fair concern. I would say that I'm just going to have to trust Daniel Stendhal's recruitment process, which is definitely...
Which, you know, is Craig Levein, right?
Yeah, I guess. Okay, some two good shifts. Oh,
Craig Levein plus Diddy's from the Bundesliga third level or whatever.
Yeah. right. So, yeah, that's our options there. So, Sean Clare or Uche. Okay, so let's just move on to Hibs. And Owen, talk me through your thinking behind Hibs. I'm interested to see if we go snap here.
Okay, I've gone for Daryl Horgan at Hibs. So is that a snap, or do you have somebody
different? No, it's not. I have someone different.
Okay. Excellent. That's good. A wee bit, kind of had a look at, as we, you know, chatted before, you know, contract length and so on. The thing I thought about Hibs was there's quite a few candidates at Hibs for this, yes. There's people like Stephen Allen. Scott Allen is, you know, getting older, but I think he's such an important outlet for them. Concern about cashing in on him was, you know, the amount of money that you might get in, but also that Hibs might be losing both Greg Docherty and Stefan Obionga from the central midfield because of Docherty's loan ending, and the same for Obionga. So I just felt, again, how many players did I want to lose from the one zone? And that's why I shied away from, you know, shifting on a central midfielder. I felt that Martin Boyle is probably way too important in terms of the creativity side. As again, he puts up quite high, you know, assist numbers, expected assists in comparison to the rest of the team. And I also thought that
Owen, I don't know if you can hear me. Hey mate, I'm honestly not. I totally lost you for pretty much all of.
Hello.
Can you hear me
now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. All of the pretty much the Hibs section just cut out.
Can you hear you?
Let me just.
But again, it's kind of flashing up in my brain that it's a Manscaped. That's all it's saying.
What's it
saying? Can you hear me? Poor connection, saying on Skype. It's gone now. It's not saying poor connection anymore.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you now. It's came back. I don't know what happened there.
Do you want to just start the hip section again? And then, you know, if you send me the whole audio, I can cut out and, like, you know, stitch them together. It'll be fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do that.
Okay.
So I'll just go from, okay, let's move on to hips.
Okay, sure. And
okay, so let's just move on to the other side of Edinburgh. And Hibs, talk me through who you think Hibs should look to move on.
Sure. So I've gone for Daryl Horgan. I think that for Hibs, one of my kind of concerns was about losing people whose value might increase and losing people from, from an area of the pitch that they were losing too many other people from. So let's start with that one. I think at the end of this season, Hibs will probably lose Greg Docherty and Stefan Omionga as they go back to their parent clubs. For that reason, I was a little bit reticent about moving on Scott Allen or Stevie Mallon, who I thought were potential candidates. I think that Scott Allen maybe is too old to get a move that brings in a reasonable or really an optimum amount of money at this point in time. I also think he's obviously quite important for Hibs in terms of the vision, particularly under Jack Ross and the way he might want to play. Stevie Mallon, I wouldn't want to have him as a starter, but I felt that probably there wasn't enough, there wouldn't be enough money for him, so maybe not an optimum sell either. The other people that I kind of thought about were Martin Boyle, but I think he's just too important for them in terms of chance creation, so I would be really worried about selling him and not being able to replace what he provides. And I think that Ryan Porteous hopefully has a full clean season next season in terms of injuries and maybe less red cards and stuff like that, and I think that he'll show people how good a player he is, and his value will increase quite significantly next season. And I think that Daryl Horgan doesn't really put up the numbers that I would want somebody to. So I think he's pretty replaceable. Don't necessarily think you'll get a lot of money for him, but I think that for me, he would be the kind of optimum person to sell. What about you? Who's your pick?
Yes, so my optimum pick is actually Christian Deutsch. 27-year-old. And that's sort of part of my thinking around about him. I think he's at his peak value for Hibs. I think that, he's at an age where I can see like a Sunderland, for example, paying over the odds for Christian Deutsch. You know, a lot of his goals are within the sort of 6-yard box. Obviously you have to be there to finish them. We've sort of debated about him before a couple of times. He does, obviously, is a skill to be in that position and find the space and get the goals, but I think that there's a number of people out there that Hibs could potentially target, like Kevin Nisbet from Dunfermline, for example. They've also got Jamie Gullen, who's a forward player. I think that Christian Deutsch is someone you could get quite a big fee for just now. I think that would be the player that could really help Jack Ross, develop the full squad. As you mentioned, it's unlikely that Docherty and Omionga are going to be there next season. They want to try and keep Jason Naismith, I believe, so they're going to have to try and, have funds available to make that happen. Christian Deutsch, quite an important player, but I think he is replaceable, and I think his value is at its peak. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, why not get the hell out of Dodge? I think it's a reasonable shout. You're absolutely right in that, his value is probably at its peak just now. I think a good counterpoint maybe to what you or I have maybe said about him before is to have a read of Blair Newman's recent kind of work about him. So Blair has a Patreon. He was on the pod very recently and he's got a Patreon at the Second Ball on Twitter and on Patreon, and he did a post about Deutsch and his strengths recently. I think just my hesitation about selling Deutsch, you're absolutely right, he's probably somebody that you could get a reasonable amount of money for right now. Just think with maybe Camberry not being there next season, maybe McNulty as well. Again, just thinking about continuity in the role, you know, and it working pretty well for Hibs this season with him, you know, in that role. They might just want to keep things going. But yeah, I don't disagree that he might be a smart guy to cash in on. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess this next team that we're going to discuss, Kilmarnock, another team that's have very limited players under contract for next season. Yeah. So that we might get a snap here. Owen, who have you picked out for this one?
I'm certain we're going to be having a snap here. I've picked Eamon Brophy. Is that the same as you?
That's the same as me.
Okay. Do you want to go first on this one? Tell me why.
So I think, again, obviously, as mentioned, there's a very small amount of players under contract for next season for Kilmarnock. I feel like as a club, they've been quite mismanaged in that sense in terms of reliance on loans or short contracts. I guess we don't know the details of whether players would even want to sign for these clubs long term, so it might not solely be the club's fault, but either way, there's a limited pool of players that you can look to cash in on. I think we've both discussed Brophy on a number of occasions, and I think he probably, overall, if Kilmarnock could get a striker with the work rate but with better decision making, they'd probably become a better unit. They don't even necessarily have to be as good a finisher as Brophy. They just need to make smarter decisions. Because how many times has he given the opposition the ball back from, you know, a fairly dangerous attack from a Kilmarnock perspective by deciding to shoot? There's far too many of these random shot locations, and you just need to look at any of these sort of shot locations. And yeah, I think for that reason, you sell Brophy, and I think, again, he's someone that you could maybe get a little bit more value than you maybe could with some of the others, and you can invest more into the overall squad.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said there. So Brophy's now 24 years old, so he's not a young guy now, and you know, I think maybe the expectation has been that he might develop you know, a little bit more than what he has done. And one of those things that we hoped he might develop in would be, you know, shooting from smarter locations, maybe not being so quick to pull the trigger from areas he really would better not. I think if you look at Modern Football's data, they have a kind of categorisation of shot areas on the pitch, you know, in terms of how dangerous those areas are, and they categorise one particular area as very low danger, and a quarter of Brophy's shots come from a very low danger area, which is not a good thing. He only got 5 open play goals this season so far, which I think for me, for a team that would want to be contesting to get in the top 6, I know it's been a difficult season with a lot of kind of turmoil, but you maybe would want, you know, your centre forward to be pushing, you know, ideally double figures open play shots for me. I know, again, the season hasn't finished, but, you know, still I'd expect more than that. And the other kind of reason that was playing into things for me, for my decision around Brophy, it's just the makeup of the rest of the squad. So, as you mentioned, there's a lot of this team that are out of contract very soon. So if you look at other people that you could maybe get a bit of value from, well, you could maybe sell Stuart Finlay. I think you could maybe command a reasonable fee for him. But given that Stephen O'Donnell's out of contract this summer, Brunescu is a loan, Del Fabbro's a loan, Hamalainen's a loan, Bruce and Broadfoot are maybe not guys that you'd want to have as starters. I don't think you want to be replacing the entirety of the defence again, you know, next season. Whereas up front, well, you've got Kabamba, who came in and did, you know, some good things. Maybe the type of guy that needs somebody else alongside him. So, you know, it's an issue getting rid of Brophy. But I do think, you know, you sell Brophy, you maybe get the cash to replace him, and ideally replace O'Donnell, and, you know, maybe some of the other people are going to have to replace throughout the squad. So, agree. Aye. Yep.
Yep. Okay, so let's move on to Livingston then. Owen, talk me through your pick for Livy.
Again, another club, you know, as much as, you know, we would, just to be clear, this applies to Kilmarnock as well, you know, well-run club, lots of things to admire. Again, it's a club that has a limited amount of players that are going to be contracted past this summer as it stands, and therefore a limited amount of people that, you know, you could sell. I think maybe the obvious choice here is Lyndon Dykes, because, you know, just he's had a fairly good season, and you know, he's come to prominence, and you could maybe cash in on him. I thought again that maybe I'd want to see if I could hang on to him for another season, because I think his value could continue to grow slightly. I don't think it's necessarily at its peak. So the person I thought I would cash on was Ayman Sowda, who is contracted to 2021, which kind of surprised me. But he's only played about 10 league games for them total this season. It kind of struck me. I mean, I really like him. I saw him very, very early in the season against Ayr United in the, I guess, Challenge Cup game, you know, back in the summer of 2019. That feels like a lifetime away given current circumstances. But I really liked him. You know, he was somebody who, you know, had good vision, skillful, good delivery from set pieces. But I just don't think that necessarily they trust him that much, particularly maybe in bigger games where they've got to be, you know, a bit more tactically disciplined. So I just don't know if he's that good a fit for the team. I'm not really sure how much money you could really get from him. You know, he's not commanded fees throughout his career, but I do think maybe, you know, with that one season in this contract, you might get something for him. And the other options just didn't strike me as being ones I would maybe want to go for. What about you, Gavin?
Yeah, it was quite tough, I felt, for Livingston in terms of they don't have a huge amount of value, I think, in their team and some of the other positions. I opted for John Guthrie, 28-year-old centre-back. I think he's been pretty good for Livingston. The reason I opted for him is that it kind of fell into the same sort of thinking around about Sean Clare. So he's got quite a lot of goals. So the set piece threat that he's offering. Yep. We know that Livingston probably, you know, do quite a lot of work on set pieces behind the scene. We've seen Declan Gallagher, Craig Halkett scoring goals last season from their centre backs from, you know, from the way that they set up. So I felt like maybe that's more of a system rather than a player attribute specifically. And I felt that maybe because of the highlight reel that you'll see from John Guthrie, for a 28-year-old, I think you might get a team from England maybe paying a little bit more than you would have got. And he's only got one more year left in his contract, so I felt like he was the optimum pick for Livingston. How do you feel about that?
I like that, and it means that Ayman Sowda can stay another season in Scottish football, so yeah, I'm into it. Yep, good shout.
I think you're right to call out as well that I do think Dykes has got another level yet in terms of his value, so I just want to quickly touch on that. If he does get a cap for Australia or Scotland, I think you easily add an extra couple of £100,000 onto his value. So you're right to hang on to that, because I think that's a possibility that, you know, that he could have that cap in the next 6 to, you know, 8 months, depending on when football gets back together. So I think that's a really fair shout to stick with Dykes. I think his goals and the way he plays and the way Livingston plays, I think you can almost guarantee that you'll get the same sort of output from him going into next season as well. Okay, so let's move on to Motherwell. Oh, and talk me through your Motherwell pick. We might get a snap here.
I went on Campbell for Motherwell. What about you?
Oh, wow. I went Liam Donnelly. Shock.
Okay, sure. So I think, there were quite a few options in terms of who I think that I would move on at Motherwell. But the thing that stuck out to me with Campbell was when the contract ends. So his contract ends next summer, 2021. He signed that length of contract in 2017, went on and improved his terms in the summer of 2019, but didn't sign an extension. And just make it extend, you know, maybe. So they brought him in line. You know, he was very young, only 21 just now. So in 2019, obviously, last summer, he was even younger. Surprise, surprise. But it just struck me that although the club made a move at that point to bring his wages in line with more senior players at the club as recognition of, you know, how important he was and how much he's playing, he wasn't, they weren't able to extend them, or they didn't extend them beyond 2021. And yeah, I just wonder, maybe he doesn't want to, and maybe you need to cash in now. Whereas some other people have slightly longer contracts, or I don't think you could sell them for quite as much. I think also with Turnbull coming back, hopefully from injury, hopefully to the same level. Obviously, they're not the same type of player, but it does give somebody else in the midfield there. So you have another person who's going to be a regular starter. Still do obviously think that they need a proper defensive midfielder to replace Goran. Donnelly's not that, but also Campbell's not that. You know, Campbell perhaps fulfills a role that they can maybe go out and get somebody else for, you know, kind of ball winner. I think in terms of Campbell, he's a really good player. He's a key cog for the club. I think that he can still level up in terms of his ability. He needs to, I think, improve the fundamentals of the role. So his tackling, knowing when to press, but also improve the technical elements like finding a pass. And I think that maybe to do that, he needs to go on to another club, another coach. So I think that now, as much as he's young, and you expect somebody who's 21 to still develop, I'm not sure if we'll see another leap next season in terms of his development where he is. So you might want to sell now, and obviously, you know, the contract's the major thing for me. What about
I think that's a really good shout. Actually, I guess I never really took that into consideration as much with Campbell there. I think my pure dislike for Liam Donnelly took over on this one. I just think that Liam Donnelly is a player that's overvalued because of his goal scoring ability. His stat sheet for goals will look really good, but in his actual position, I think he's quite reckless and loses his position quite a lot.
I completely agree with that, but I just think that you get so much more money for Campbell. Donnelly's a reasonable Premiership squad player that I would be fine having, you know, in the squad. Maybe not a starter ideally, but Campbell makes you what, like, you would maybe say 8 times the money, maybe, of what Donnelly does if you sell.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to know that how much clubs value these players at. I guess you're probably right. You probably do make more on Alan Campbell. I had to throw Liam Donnelly some shade. So it's done. It's out there. And let's move on to Rangers.
Okay. So is it Rangers next, yeah?
Rangers next.
Okay, right. So this is quite an interesting one at Rangers, because I guess our job here is to decide who's the number one optimal person to get rid of. And I guess what you're... gut would say about Rangers is that ideally there's a crop of fringe players, Stewart, Barker, Jones, that all need to go. But given that this is just one player, I think I would opt for Glenn Kamara. Now, my reasoning behind that is that Rangers really need to stop 10 in a row. Let's say that, you know, Celtic win the league this season and then, you know, it's potentially 10 in a row next season. I don't want to shift on anybody who's a really key cog. So that would include somebody like Alfredo Morelos. I do still think that he can maintain his value next season. I think this season, you know, he underperformed. You know, his XG is lower than his goals. His goals are lower than his XG. You know, he didn't hit, the heights that he could have. He showed some signs of potentially being able to hold, you know, things to get a pitch. Less said of his, you know, time away from the club, the better. But I guess what I'm getting to there is that I think he can, and, you know, so if you sell him, also you need to bring in 2 forwards, basically, because you cannot have a position as a starter. I think that fullbacks are really key. So I know that people were disappointed with Tavernier this season. To me, some of that was a little bit unfair because the heights they hit in terms of goal production and assist production were just unrealistic to hit again. Hurt by that Candias left and the system changed. And there's just minor things like, you know, missing a penalty and stuff like that that really stick out in fans' minds. So also I think that he's the captain. As much as he came under a little bit a fire for some of the things that he did as captain, you don't necessarily want to, you know, shift the dressing room, lose that kind of side of things too much in what's going to be a really critical battle next season. Similarly, just in terms of the role, the other person you could maybe get a reasonable amount of want to be Barisic. But again, I think fullbacks are so key in the system potentially. That I would just worry that can't get a reasonable replacement, then you're going to, you know, Halliday or Flanagan slot in the back. And also from a selfish point of view, I think if Rangers sell Tavernier, then they probably bring in, you know, a right back, and then Nathan Patterson probably's minutes are limited even more. Whereas if they have somebody reliable that they know well, like Tavernier, they probably are more likely to put Patterson in for some minutes in some games. That's just my gut on that one. So yeah, and then I think that Kamara, as much as I'm, you know, obviously I'm a fan of Kamara, have been for a long time. I really like what he does. The Rangers system, he's relatively replaceable, and I think you could make a good profit on him. You need to keep in mind what they paid for him. You know, maybe get, I don't know, £3 million for him or something. That's a huge amount of money back, which is part of what Rangers need to be doing. And I also think that maybe the fans are not as enamoured with him as, you know, the earlier in his time at Rangers, so not necessarily a bad time to sell from that perspective. What do you think?
So I guess for me, there's I totally understand your thinking behind going for Kamara. I think he's a very specific player for specific games for Rangers. And what made me, because I did think about him, what made me opt against that was European football is still really vital to Rangers. Sure. In terms of income. So they need to be making the group stages. They need to be trying to reach, you know, knockouts if possible. So for me, I think Kamara is really important in those games, and that's where he's done some of his best work. Sure. I also understand though that 10 in a row from a Rangers perspective will have to be stopped. So, you know, there's probably nobody that they really want to sell. However, I felt that, you know, maybe selling Tavernier isn't necessarily a bad thing because of his age. The money that's banded about for him, again, we don't know what's true or not, but the figures that, you know, you can see in some of the press stuff, I think you could potentially replace him. And again, you're making a big profit in terms of what your outlay was for him. And that, you know, gives someone, you know, like Ross Wilson, the opportunity to maybe be a little bit more creative with what he brings in. So, yeah, I was also thinking that maybe from a Rangers perspective, so he has been captain, but I'm not always certain that he possesses the leadership qualities that you would want to see, especially just from a visual point of view. So when you watch him, I just don't always think he commands a team. It doesn't look like someone that rallies players. I think he's maybe more of a lead by example, whereas I think potentially for Rangers, they could benefit from having that captain armband given to maybe someone a little bit different.
Who do you have in mind, just as a wee side? Because I don't necessarily think there's anybody within the starting 11 that I would maybe think would be ideal.
Yeah, so I guess it is difficult. The only player that I thought would maybe be Stephen Davis.
Do you think you would want him to be a starter every week next season?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah.
Doesn't work then, does it? Right? You've really got the benefit with Tavernier as captain. Is Tavernier is a machine in terms of playing minutes. He'll easily do 50 games for you, and that's a good thing to have as a captain. You know, that consistency, knowing they're going to be a starter. You know, so that would be my concern about that too.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it's a difficult one, but for me, maybe that, you know, having that armband to someone else maybe gives them a different lease of life. Maybe, you know, someone takes that responsibility. I don't know. And also, I guess it does make it difficult for Patterson, but there's also the opportunity that whoever they bring at right back, maybe, you know, if they don't hit the ground running, maybe that gives Patterson a bigger chance at the position. So, yeah, I just felt there was a couple of things there that suggested that you could move on from James Tavernier. Okay, so two more to go. We've got St Johnstone. Talk me through your pick for St Johnstone.
Yeah, my pick for St Johnstone is Michael O'Halloran. So again, maybe a team that doesn't have a lot of players that are contracted for a long period of time. But O'Halloran's contracted till 2021. I felt that in some ways he had a reasonable-ish season, but he lacked output really. So just one assist and I think two goals in the league. 0.14 expected assists from open play, which is, you know, not bad for somebody, you know, not at the top end, in a team that's not at the top end. But I do just think limited options for them in terms of shifting people on. And he's maybe the one that I would have been most keen to go for. The other obvious ones, I guess, are Ali McCann and Jason Kerr. And yeah, Ali McCann, you're probably, you know, going to get the most money for him. You know, he's been linked recently with moves on to quite a high level. I just think that his value could continue to increase next season potentially, and that he'd be a real loss. I'm not a big fan of what St Johnstone have got going on in central midfield apart from him. So I just have concerns about that. Jason Kerr, maybe. I mean, they brought in McCart, and I'm really happy with that because I like him a lot as a player. So he's maybe somebody that he could move on. But again, I just think potentially his value slipped back a little bit from where it was, and you maybe want another season of a bit of solidity with him and, you know, McCart together, for instance, to build that back up. What did you think for this one? Who did you go for?
So I found this one quite hard, actually. I think there was a few candidates in my mind around about who you would maybe want to sell, and I did sort of sway between a couple of people, and I eventually settled on Stevie May.
Sure.
So Stevie May's only got a year left in his contract. Yep. I think he flatters to deceive a lot. I think if you can get any sort of fee for him, then, you know, I'd imagine he's quite a high earner at St Johnstone. So maybe you free quite a lot of resource by allowing him to go. And I think out of the players that only have 1 year left in the contract, O'Halloran is the same. I think you maybe get slightly more for May than you do O'Halloran. And St Johnstone's squad's quite thin in general, right? So I think they you know, it's going to be a one in one out type summer for them when it comes round about. So whoever you let go, you're going to have to replace them pretty much anyway. I think that you can potentially get the most value and potentially find someone better.
Okay. I think I just swayed against May because of, you know, his connection to the club. And, you know, maybe there's been... the season has picked up, but it's been a tough season for them. If you kind of, you know, think back a wee bit, I think again maybe that's something that keeps the fans a wee bit happier. And I don't disagree that, you know, he's flattered to deceive. I do sort of still think there's something there, and he's young enough that what if, you know, you play him next season and he really produces again? It doesn't necessarily take a great deal of goals to be able to stand out in this division and be seen as producing. So, you know, what if he happened to, you know, hit a good streak and get double figures next season, and then you know can really make a reasonable profit next season? That was my thinking behind wanting to hang on to him. Whereas I think with somebody like O'Halloran, you're never ever going to get more than you would now. You know, it's not going to happen, right, really, at his age. You know, that was my thinking with that. Not that I think you could get a lot from now, but just maybe there's more of an upside to hanging on to May for a wee bit longer.
Yeah, I guess it's... I think those two for me are the sort of two obvious choices. I think McCann, Kerr, Hendry have all got an opportunity to just go a little bit more in terms of their value. So I would want to keep holding them for one more season. And, you know, St Johnstone had a horrendous start to the season, so... Yep. If you avoid that, then their value probably goes up a little bit more because you're just not playing as bad. And our final pick for tonight, let's go to St Mirren, Jim Goodwin. Talk me through what your thinking was with the buddies.
Did we do Ross County, by the way?
Oh, I've missed Ross County.
Okay.
Christ. We'll do that.
Okay, so St Mirren, my choice was Kyle McAllister. So again, maybe a club with not a lot of players that have contracts, you know, for a long period of time, and maybe not a lot of players that you would necessarily want to lose of those ones. So for instance, Obika has a contract for another season, but I just feel that quite important to them in terms of goals and you know, style of play and stuff. McAllister, he's only 21, you know, things could improve, but I just think that he's maybe not as key a part for them as might have thought that he would be at one point, and I'm not too sure if he's going to make a leap beyond where he is just now. So, again, not necessarily somebody that I think you necessarily can get a lot of money for, but it just struck me as him perhaps being the one that you would get something for, but miss the least. So that's my kind of reasons for thinking he's maybe kind of optimum. What about you, Gavin?
So I went a little bit different. I went for the player I thought I could get the most value for, because sure, I think the St Mirren squad needs
money.
Yeah, it needs money. Yeah. You know, you've got to replace Hladke, which is going to be really difficult. Yep. So I thought the player that had the most value just now that they could get a decent fee for is young Cameron McPherson. I think he's a pretty good central midfielder. They are suffering with McGuinness being injured. But if he can come back and be, you know, hopefully close to as good as he was before, then you don't really miss too much if you sell McPherson. And I think he's the player you get the most money for out of the players that are under contract. I think based on like the age of like Sam Foley and stuff, who's been pretty good, you're not getting much for him. Same with Obika, I don't think you get much for. So I just felt that, you know, taking the biggest offer you could get to fix this squad was the right thing to do. Any thoughts on that?
I don't disagree with that at all. I think the thing that kind of led me to be a wee bit hesitant with McPherson was just that I think he has a contract till 2022, so I kind of felt, can you hold off and see what it's like next season if they stay up, and you know, if they've got him and McGuinness and so on together, whether he can push on and you know, develop further and they can maybe get more money for him. But you're right in that this is a challenge for right now, and yeah, you're probably right that in comparison to McAllister, you probably get, you know, a reasonable amount more for him. So yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that as a pick, sure.
Okay, so apologies to all the Staggies out there for missing Ross County. It's the Highlands. Once you get past sort of midway, you don't care anymore.
No, that's not true.
I know it's not. I'm only kidding. So, okay, let's finish up then on Ross County. Owen, talk me through your pick for Ross County.
Sure. In many ways, once you're out of Glasgow, the more north you get, the more interesting it gets. But anyway, not to compound the insult to Ross County too much, but yeah, I'm going to get rid of, you know, one of your favourite players currently, I guess, if you're a Ross County fan. That's Ross Stewart. So I think Ross Stewart has, he's a really good player, you know, young forward, quite a well-rounded kind of forward, I would say. Had kind of streaky time this season in terms of goals, and maybe is not necessarily somebody that I would say will make a huge leap to a really high level in terms of goal scoring, but he could certainly go on and test himself, you know, maybe even at England League One kind of level, potentially. I think he'd be a reasonable bet for a club at that level, which I think would mean that Ross County could potentially command a pretty good fee for him. He's one of the few options as well to sell, because he's one of the few players they have on a contract past 2020, from my knowledge of things anyway. What about you? Do you agree with that one? Did you have somebody else in mind, Gavin?
Yeah, just to be different, I did have his strike partner, Billy McKay. Yeah. I thought maybe you could get money for McKay. He's 31, and you've got Ollie Shaw there in the future, so maybe you can give Ollie Shaw more minutes. Maybe you know, playing Stewart as well, you maybe get a decent output. It's a tough one because they don't have a lot of options. Stewart, you probably are getting the most money for, but I think it was just McKay's age, and if you can get some money for someone at 31, that probably felt like a good move for me.
I think my thinking was just that Shaw replaces Stewart, and hopefully Shaw can learn from McKay. Basically, and I didn't see there being much prospect of any sort of reasonable fee for McKay. Good player, but you know, it's probably too late to sell for anything proper. And I do think that, you know, there's a lot of issues, I guess, or at least there's a lot of positions in which Ross County could maybe try and get some sort of upgrade if they stayed up. You know, it's tough to find, you know, tough to get people that probably wouldn't be spending any sort of transfer fees or anything like that. But certainly the Stewart sale would help spread out some wages, you know.
Don't disagree. Okay, so that's us covered all teams. And what we'd like to let you know is that there will be a Pure Football recruitment challenge coming out in the coming weeks. Just like what Owen and I have done, went through every team, we're going to ask you to pick your player. You'll get a score based on the player that you select. But there'll be more information coming out in that very shortly, so keep an eye on the social media and the podcast. And maybe just bookmark this one because it might help you when it comes to the challenge itself. Thanks for listening and take care.